Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're running with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Hope everybody's having a pleasant Tuesday, May 24th, so far. Certainly wasn't very pleasant for the Miami Heat last night. That thing continues to bounce both ways, doesn't it? We cannot have a close game in that series to save our lives. Was the Celtics' turn for a blowout last night, 102-82. And it just didn't look like Miami had much in the tank. We'll talk about it. Jimmy's been doing this, though. Times it looked like a superstar. And then other times it looked like he doesn't have much, as we say, gas left in the tank. Now he is dealing with some inflammation in one of his knees. A 6-point effort last night was not even close to being enough for Miami. Celtics roll. John, now 5-0. The Celtics are after a loss in these playoffs. We continue to keep count.
I believe we both agreed on that too yesterday during Cap or No Cap.
We
right?
did. Yeah. We did. That was easy call on that one.
It was.
I don't think
it
we
was.
Can pat ourselves on the back too much there. I'm hoping the Celtics go ahead and close this thing out by winning two more. I would be right then on Celtics in six, although it does feel like this thing's going to go seven. Back to Warriors and Mavs tonight. Can the Mavs at least make it a gentleman's sweep? We shall see. I know my partner has his doubts. Penny Hardaway spoke yesterday, talked about Larry Brown, talked about Alex Lomax. We can get into that. And how about this? Versus on Thursday, your boys, 8-Ball and MJG. And guess who's going to be DJing? 8-Ball and MJG, by the way, going to be going against UGK. Guess who's going to be DJ? A local, a friend of the show. We'll talk about it a little bit later. How's that for a tease?
Earl in the morning?
It's not Earl.
It's not Earl?
Not Earl.
Dang. I wanted it to be Earl.
Actually, he used to be a local. He's no longer in town, although it does feel like he's still here because of the legend that he is. Yeah, might as well. Devin Steele is going to be DJing. How about that honor?
Oh, Devin Steele, that's awesome.
How about that honor?
That is awesome.
It's in Atlanta. Where he is now,
Mr. Big,
and he's going to be on
big.
The
blowing up in Atlanta.
He's going to be on the ones. Oh yeah, he's
wow.
big over there already.
Mr. Big,
still
Mr.
big here. Devin Steele
he's
is
big, yeah,
he's
all be over
on,
now.
He's going to be on the ones and twos when 8-Ball and MJG go up against UGK in a versus
wow.
on Thursday. We'll talk a little bit more about that later.
Mr. Big will make the. Will that make the rotation?
Of course
Mr.
it will.
Big.
Yeah, absolutely.
I believe, I just think 8-Ball and MJG's catalog going to be too long for my man Bun B. Rest in peace, Pimp C.
Yeah, I'll be interested. I'll definitely turn into this one. I'm interested in how much modern 8-Ball and MJG, because to me, there's two versions of 8-Ball and MJG, right? There's the pre-Bad Boy 8-Ball and MJG.
Right,
and then there's
right.
the post-Bad Boy 8-Ball and MJG, which I think.
To look at it that way, I suppose.
I mean, they had some hits with Diddy, though.
Yeah, not my favorite time, as you know.
No, I get that.
I was going back to, I was more of the OG 8-Ball and MJG.
But the big.
Puff, again, his thing, going to take you more commercial, try to go, and some of it was good, some of it wasn't as great as the.
I mean, but look, it's all going to be like, I mean, yeah, Space Age pimping. I mean, you're going to
oh
get. I mean, there's just, but UG, it's tough for UGK though, man, because Pimp C no
coming
longer
out
with
hard,
us.
Coming out hard,
yeah.
Was what we did in '94, coming out of whites. That's what we used as our coming out statement, coming out, graduating. Remember, didn't your class have a statement? You know, what didn't you have a phrase or a song or something y'all used?
Yeah, we probably
y'all
did.
Y'all were lame.
Yeah, yours was coming out hard.
That's what we chose
but
in '94.
But that's the year that album probably dropped.
Coming out
right?
hard. It was around that time.
That's
it had
a
been
very
before.
Clever.
Thank you.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't think we had one though. Anything
probably was something, probably was Taylor Swift or something.
Yeah. Drake. I don't know. Was Drake a thing in 09? I don't know, Brad. Probably something around that.
Just a few years ago, John.
I'm excited about that versus though.
Yes.
And you know what? It's gonna be nothing but respect between those two. You know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You won't see it get tense like it did with Bone and 3-6.
Right.
I don't see that happening with 8-Ball and UGK.
UGK hits. UGK hits. What are the must plays?
Pocket Full of Stones. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Pimp C on? Wasn't he on a song with? I know it wasn't A-Bun and JG, but he was on a lot of Memphis
stuff.
You ain't
never seen a pimp be rolling so clean. I can't. All the names escape me, but they got a bunch. It's just not gonna be as many.
Yeah, like
they were big though. I was buying UGK albums out of Texas.
I've heard a lot of songs that feature like Bun, you know, and Pimp C. I have not my catalog with UGK itself. I am not as familiar with UGK. Again, you know, because I don't really know 2005 when I was like, you know, a teenager, like how much music were they still making then? But I know of a lot of features that
Diamonds and Wood.
Yes.
We mentioned Pocket Full of Stones. Pimpin' Ain't No Illusion.
I'm gonna be real with you.
A lot along those lines.
I'm gonna be real with you, bro.
All my favorites.
This
Brad, I know that was right in your.
Yeah, I mean these are right there for me. Yeah.
Right, on the rock stations.
Yep. I'm all over this.
He had it on the Walkman.
I left it something for you. I'm not gonna mention what that is anyway.
That's my favorite.
No, I'm being honest with you. I
this will be epic.
My early assessment, and we'll get into this later, I'm sure, but my early assessment is this is gonna be a gentleman's sweep for A-Bun MJG. Like that's how it feels.
That's probably
to me.
About right. I mean, what Golden State's gonna do to Dallas?
I just feel like A-Bun and MJG have too many hits, man.
Mm-hmm.
Too many hits. But and I'm not. Maybe I'm biased because they're from Memphis and we've had them in studio.
No, I think everybody would listen and would agree with you.
Again,
not that we're not selling UGK short. That's just it's a tall order to take on A-Bun and MJG.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. All right, we have a big show planned for you today. Jeff Calkins is officially. We pressed the button. We press the on-demand button. He's going to be with us today at 12:25. We'll talk to him about various world affairs, as we normally do.
Chopping Blades from Bennett Doyle there.
Chopping Blades, yeah.
That's one of Bennett's favorites.
That's what he listens to when he's mowing the grass.
Bennett helping
right?
us out there with the list.
Right. You know, Chopping Blades.
When he gets in the old Liberty.
Chopping Blades just has a different connotation when you're in your 30s, when you know, versus when you're in your early 20s.
Trying to recall these songs, too, at 45, it gets a little bit tougher.
No, you're a little foggy, huh?
Yeah. A little murky, kind of like Jeff.
Yeah, but see, I know I know all of, and I give Jeff a lot of credit. Like, I give Jeff a lot
not
of credit.
To be ageist.
To be 60 years old doing this.
Oh, he's sharp as a tack.
It's amazing.
But yeah, like, I could recite most of, like, the Living Legends album. Like, I mean,
Well, you don't need to do
that. That was a formative time for me. I was 13, 14 years old, and, you know, so you remember those songs, right? UGK just wasn't for that for me.
And them and Yo Burks.
Respectfully. Right. Respectfully. Shout out to Yo Burks, man. Let's get his jersey up in the rafters with Carney and, you know, Sean Williams. Sean Williams was that dude.
Was that presented to you later on?
What?
Sean Williams.
No.
Okay.
I mean, Sean Williams wasn't here long enough.
No.
But
we've said the 1 years have been up there. We say,
but yeah, his impact was not as profound as D Rose's.
We're gonna have to do a revised revisit.
John's
of this.
Adding more to the list of Tigers that got to be retired.
It's a damn Kohl's collection up there in the rafters at FedEx.
I'm gonna be
Forum
honest,
now.
Like I would retire a lot of guys' jerseys. Like, but that, I would like I, but that's me. I know you can't necessarily do that. Anyway, Jeff's gonna join us at 12:25. Then around 1:20, 1:25, we're gonna catch up with old friend George Sedano.
He could tell us whether it's over, whether Golden State's closing out tonight.
He knows that Miami Heat team very well.
He knows the Heat team as well.
Right? He knows that team really well. So we'll ask him what's the upshot of this series. I was very disturbed last night because the Celtics did not outshoot the Miami Heat, right? Like, if you pull up the box score right now and look at the percentages, you're not going to see some great disparity.
I'm not.
If any, from three. If any, from the floor. Pretty evenly matched game statistically. But from a personnel standpoint, Miami looked outmatched. Rob Williams came back. No Marcus Smart. Robert Williams came back, and it made everything insanely difficult for the Miami Heat around the basket.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just not a good enough. And it's kind of weird because they were the best shooting team in the NBA in the regular season. But we talk about this, right? Same thing with the Dallas Mavericks. It's one thing to be a great three-point shooting team in the regular season with guys like Kleba and Dorian Finney-Smith and Reggie Bullock. But when the rubber meets the road and it's nut-cutting time in elimination situations, you're going to be counting on those guys to make out. You're counting on Max Strus to make outside shots. You're counting on Duncan Robinson to make outside shots. Kyle Lowry's on a bum hamstring. It ain't happening. Jimmy Butler's not right.
I just feel like this is one of those things where they're a lot smaller than Boston. And maybe we're talking about that Boston in six like you talked about. So anyway, we'll get into that with George Sedano at 1:25. So that is the show today. Looking forward to it. But you mentioned it. What is it? It was a fire truck unveiling? Is that what happened yesterday?
Yeah. But the city, University of Memphis, and they had Penny out there, had Ryan Silverfield, athletic director Laird Veach, out there. The city basically unveiled a Memphis-themed,
okay,
a tiger-themed.
Love it.
Pumper.
A pumper.
Yeah. I don't like using that word. It's what,
right,
it's
careful.
Fire engine.
Yeah.
That's what I like. That's what I called it, you know, growing. It's fire engine. In this case, it's blue.
Yes.
Again, a pumper. You know, that's what they call it, right?
Yeah.
You don't need to be. It pumper,
sounds a little. It sounds a little.
It makes me uncomfortable. Yeah. So it's a blue. It's a tiger themed fire.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
If your home,
and they were all out there.
If your home were on fire, would it at least make you feel a little bit better as an alum that a tiger themed fire truck was coming to put out the fire? Would you at least
see again?
Here it comes! Like when it toot toot, your house on fire. Here comes the pumper.
Like with most things, you're looking at this all wrong. This is the truck.
It's a fair question.
That will go to Riley's school.
Okay, they're not going to actually put this one in use.
Out in Collierville for a bit. And Riley can touch the tiger on the, you know what I'm saying? Now, capable of being used, I think if we needed all the pumpers at one time.
I would hate for my tax dollars to go to a pumper that wasn't even going to be put in use.
This will be one more about civic pride, I'm sure, making stops at schools and things like that, John. Right? Fire safety, informing kids, things like that.
Oh, well, no, I think you can do both with it,
where I probably see it, rather than outside your house in Germantown, you know, trying to put
out
the fire.
Last week, if that would have showed up to put the fire out, like, that would have been like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, Penny comes out. Superfield comes out. They start.
Again, what you choose to focus on.
Right, well, I think it's a practical question. You guys didn't wonder whether or not it was going to actually be used? That's not a fair
question. It's for inducements. We're going to have an NIL deal, and then the players are going to also be volunteer firemen.
We're
going to
get like pyromaniacs. Mm-hmm. Like we're going to use the fire truck for all like the pyromaniacs that Memphis is recruiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So. Yeah. But I gather there were some things that came out of this.
Yes, there were. Number one, Penny Hardaway says that as of right now, your boy Larry Brown is coming back. Now.
Wow, that's
along
news.
Along the lines of what you've said, though, Penny said in what capacity he does not know, which would go along the lines of some of the things you've talked about with Larry, that it would not be in the same capacity as a full-time, that maybe Penny has it.
Yeah,
and is envisioning something else for Larry. And he talked about it. I mean, in the quotes, he essentially says, you know, the day-to-day being an assistant, not trying to do that for Larry. You know.
And these are all from Jason Munn.
Yes, Jason Munn's the commercial
team
was there. Make sure we give proper credit and attribution. Well done.
I can't say a whole lot, but what I would stress to people is a couple of things. One is, in 2018, when Larry Brown was initially trying to be brought onto the staff. Tom Bowen, the AD at the time, said he can come, but he can come as a consultant.
Yes.
And what happened?
I remember that well.
Larry did not have any interest in being a consultant. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be an assistant. So I believe that is relevant to this conversation. And B, Larry is not in Memphis. Larry is not here. And I don't know when he will be back. So, you know, I understand that I think what Penny is saying is technically true, right? What he is saying is technically the truth.
Penny's saying it's literally up to him.
Yeah.
When he says that, literally in the quotes, it's whether or not Larry wants to accept
the role that has been set for him.
And as Penny says, if it's not as a coach, maybe he can be assistant to the head coach or something that doesn't have to travel and recruit and do as much. Again, these quotes coming from.
So I don't know. I have no idea. Like, you know, that's a decision that's got to be made, right? That's a decision that's got to be made. What are you willing to do? What do you want to do? Do you want to pursue something? Yeah. You know, again, we shall see.
Penny's saying the ball's in Larry's court. Sounded like the ball's in his court whether or not you want to accept this as a consultant position.
Well, yeah, it's like
we're boiling this down.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably a fair assessment, you know. But I also think, too, like, let's see what happens with the rest of the staff as well.
You know, I mean, I think that that is a relevant piece of the conversation. Like, he does still – Jermaine's going to be an assistant, right? Jermaine is going to be an assistant.
All indications are that.
Right?
I know it hasn't
been. So you still are going to have two spots to fill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to, I don't know, bring Brad – does Rasheed Wallace find his way back on the staff, right? He was in the Instagram picture doing the workouts.
With the mask still on.
With the mask still
on.
So
I'm assuming unvaccinated.
Sure. But now,
but would that matter when you get back around the team? It did certainly at one point this season.
But is the vaccination mandate that it was sort of set down, is that gone? I think it's probably gone, right? This, you know, moving forward, I assume no more testing is going to be done regularly, you know? I mean, we're moving into a different phase of the pandemic. So, you know, how many games are teams going to lose to COVID this year? You know, I know Memphis
famously lost one. Yeah, you would hope at least fewer or to none. But he's clearly, they've still clearly got some guidelines. They're making him wear the mask when he's around Lori Walton. That said, that shouldn't, perhaps it will not keep you from being
right
back on the staff again next year.
But you still have another one to fill, even if you do fill that.
So,
you know, I mean, it's like recruiting. You know, if you don't get a priority, then you have other options, right? And so I don't close the door on anything.
He said in this, it's interesting, he said the grind of the past year wore on Brown.
Right.
Well, adding, expects him to be back on staff until he's told otherwise. But
well, right.
He point, you know.
If, you know, that's like, that's some word twister there, right? Like that's
what's interesting to me. If does Brown want to come back as
right.
a full-time assistant? Because that's what it feels
right.
Like.
No, I mean, that's a very indirect answer, is it not? I mean, there's a lot of open-endedness to that, you know, which, again, I understand, you know, you don't want to give, because I don't think there is a hard answer. I don't think anything has been decided. That is my, I don't think any final decision has come down. I think there are a lot of variables here. So, I don't know. Will Larry Brown be a part of this thing moving forward? Could be, could not be. I could, you know.
Yeah, still unclear at this point.
Yeah, I think that's
he says the ball's in Larry's court. We'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's one piece. Any other interesting news out of that?
He mentioned some scheduling nuggets.
Well, I like scheduling nuggets.
Well, he's trying to get Louisville. He says he's got a call out to Kenny Payne. Doesn't sound like he's very far down the road on either one of these. He's got a call out to new Louisville coach Kenny Payne. Of course, Penny told Munns, told the CA, he'd love to get that rivalry back. Again, I would tell you, I don't know that Louisville looks at that still Louisville. I know some people have a problem with how we pronounce it here, some of us Southerners. I don't know that they still look at it as that or as a valuable addition. Hopefully they do. It would be a nice addition. The other thing he talked about was Arkansas, which has been mentioned before, starting up a home-and-home with them. Again, he talked about it's not very far down the tracks. And then one other thing he mentioned was also Alex Lomax. Said his status right now, he's exploring some other options, but that he is eligible to come back. Says that his status right now with the team's uncertain.
Oh, man. Now, that's weird. That's very weird. Is it not? Like, how would you not? How would Penny
He's not in the portal.
Right.
Well,
when
you're talking about weighing other options, there are only so many. If a guy's not in the portal, not talking about an option.
As a graduate transfer, do you have to enter the portal?
No, I suppose not.
Because I'm asking. I don't know that. I don't think you do, but I don't know for sure. So I don't know if that
did Tyler not hit the portal? I guess not. I guess he just scheduled those meetings with South Florida. I think he talked with Mincy at Jacksonville, but he took visits. He took a visit down to South Florida. And maybe he didn't. Maybe as a graduate, he did not. Now, you know the other interesting
thing?
He did
enter the transfer portal.
Okay, well, whatever. Either way.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know the rules. Because I know certain dates have passed.
Your point is, would Lomax need to enter it? In Tyler's case, he did. With Lomax, my whole point is, listen, with the whole thing, does it feel like he's going to transfer to another school and play for another coach for 1 year?
Right.
Has it ever felt like that with Alex Lomax?
No.
What's interesting is that this option is still there for him to return. Well, you'd have to ask yourself, well, what's he weighing it against? Is it graduating? Yes, or he's done that part. Coming back as a grad assistant, you know, starting a coaching career? Is it being on this team that, let's be real, barring injury, your role won't be remotely close to what it's been these first, three, 4 years with Kendrick Davis now in the fold? It won't even, let's be real, Kendrick Davis is going to be a 30 to 35 minute guy, you feel like, on the floor, a conference player of the year. And so even saying Alex is the backup to that, well, that backup role going to be significantly less than any he's played so far.
So he missed the deadline. If he can't transfer based on the NCAA.org. A student athlete who graduates with remaining athletics eligibility may be eligible as a full-time post-grad at another D1 school, including providing a written request to enter the transfer portal to their current school by May the 1st if they participate in a fall or winter sport. So that's basketball, right? Or is basketball a spring sport?
No, basketball's a fall sport.
Okay. Certainly a winter sport, if not a fall sport. It's one of those two.
Yeah. Here.
So, yes, he can't transfer based on the understanding of this rule. So, I mean, and then it's just a question of do you want to play? I just don't like what are the options here? You just don't play basketball anymore?
The streets were saying professionally. I would just tell you, right. I'm not. We've said it about DeAndre. What's the market like? Are they clamoring for you to come join the professional ranks? I doubt it with Alex Lomax. So, again, what are the options? Hang around, do whatever Penny needs of you. Focus on being that scout team guy for this team that you love. Is that, I'll be honest with you, it's not very attractive compared to what you've had. And again, barring injury, this is not a situation where you look at it and all of a sudden you're going to be looking at it midseason and you're going back to ALO, right? Because you had nothing else.
Right.
Those days are over. Yep. That answer's here. Again, if he gets hurt though, Kendrick Davis, you don't have a better option.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe he looks at it that way, too, that if called upon, I'd be there.
Well, I also think he has to weigh with himself, right? Do I want to? I don't think ALO feels appreciated, right? I think ALO probably feels like he has just been through the ringer in his own city and talked down on, and he's got to weigh, do I really want to do that for another year? Even though I can, do I want to go through that playing here? He didn't want to transfer to another school. That's one thing. But you could, like you said, like you could just call it a day and move on to your next venture. You know, that's
at one point, ALO, and he did it. He was the only guy that had the senior day. He walked.
Yep.
Right. So there's some finality there. Mm-hmm. Could you come back? Sure. Tyler Harris didn't walk because he thought he was coming back. What's changed now since that, John? In addition to at one point, you wanted that final walk. You've added Kendrick Davis.
Exactly. So your role is going to be
diminished. So your experience coming back, should you decide to do that, completely diminished.
Yep.
So it's not close. Again, Kendrick Davis gets hurt, we whole new ball game. You'd probably back in the starting lineup. But are you willing to do that? Are you willing to, be that far in the back, potentially, on a team that, quite frankly, may not need you? Look, Andre Allen was important to that 07-08 Memphis team. He was important as a backup guy. ALO, if that's presented to ALO as, hey, you could be this for us, ALO's a guy who's always popped that Memphis across his chest.
Yep.
Probably going to answer the call. I mean, that's the options he's considered, right? A lesser role.
Right.
Where sure, maybe I get called upon, but it's clearly not another school.
It's probably also on Penny. Like, Penny's interest in it could either wane or pick up based on.
Remember, Elijah McCadden is a combo guard, play a little bit of both. So you've got that as well in terms of depth there as well. So even if Kendrick doesn't handle it, Elijah's a guy who's played some at the spot. So I would just think you've got scholarships open. ALO's a backup plan. ALO's loyal to you. I just have a hard time seeing him sitting on the sidelines watching this with one more year eligibility.
Right.
And no other schools in the picture.
Exactly. So look, there's still plenty of holes to fill on this roster, staff wise, player personnel wise, so the work honestly is just getting started. You got Kendrick, okay. Elijah's depth, but you have a two guard spot you got to fill.
Caleb Murphy, right.
You got a big man you got to fill, and Kenneth Lofton stayed in the NBA draft like we talked about. He was just getting too many good reviews.
Good for him.
So you have big positions. Like, I just, if you're, and this is not intended as any disrespect, but it's just the facts of the matter. If you are going into next season with Malcolm Dange as your starting five,
out of one side, I not heard you say, before you even go there, because I could smell what was coming, that with Kendrick, Lester, and DeAndre, they're a tournament team.
Yes. But
okay, then where are you going?
You need an upgrade at the position.
You need a two and a five, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
You didn't bring in Elijah to be the starting two.
Exactly. Elijah needs to stay in the role he was at last year, right?
He's coming in as a sixth man. That's what he was.
You have to upgrade that spot.
I'm with you.
I mean, or explore Chandler at the five. Right? I mean, he'd be undersized five, but he does have length, you know? And I don't need anything from that five spot if I have Kendrick, Lester,
again,
and DeAndre.
I'm not going to even have this conversation that it stops here. Like,
it can't.
I know that, you know, who do we have? Kendrick, and who else said it? Something big's coming down the pike.
Tony Madlock.
Madlock, right. Yeah. And I know he would know, but we know Penny. We know what Penny can do late, yep. What he's done late.
Yep.
There's no way he's done here. Especially, again, he had eyes on Caleb Murphy. He was trying to get that one. So you're not done. You're not done.
Uh-huh.
You didn't get that one, and we know he's been after a five. And so, no, we're not going to do this right now. You know Penny's going to
Yeah, there's still a lot of time.
There's too much time.
We'll have this conversation again in 2 months, right, in terms of
what, 100%
on this
roster.
I agree. The roster cannot be fully – I mean, there's too many holes, too many scholarships available. That's just not the way Penny operates. So there's still a lot of time left to figure this thing out. But that is the latest, on the scheduling thing. Man, I would really love to see that Arkansas series. I would love to see that because I think that's prestigious. Louisville would be great again and we'll get to this in just a minute. But DJ Wagner, got to feel like they're in the driver's seat for the number one player in the country there at Louisville.
How about that change for Cal thought for so long? He's going to be getting that
game. Yep. So, I mean, I would really love to see because you have to replace some games, right? You're going to have to replace Tennessee.
I mean, it's critically important that you do. Let's talk about it. I mean, look at the butts and seats count last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was it, 6,500 essentially?
A&M is not – I like that it's an SEC program, but an NIT team is not going to get butts back in seats. Well,
now, what does it more than anything needs to be said before we get to – is winning,
sure.
Right? Is packing them in and,
sure.
Hey, maybe not getting off to the slow start that you have – and staying ranked early, that can help with that in terms of filling up that building. That's the best remedy is when you're ranked and rocking. That place, usually, no matter who you're playing, it will have its way, its natural of filling up. That said, you got to give them something. You got to give them something.
Right.
And Tennessee's coming off. That's something that got people excited. You've known that for a while now. You got to go find out what that is. I'll tell you what it ain't. It's not the Georgias. Right, no. that you've tried.
Now that was part of the SEC AAC challenge. Yeah,
but those kinds of games are not going to get it. You got to do something to hype it up as much as you can in terms of giving people a home skid that's quality and people want to get down there and see.
I will say this for the Georgia one: at least that first game did include Anthony Edwards.
Yeah,
I mean Anthony Edwards, like they had it rolling at that moment, at that snapshot in time.
But
They had a number one overall pick, right?
Right.
But yes, that program's a disaster.
But again, you got to look out for yourself. That's a case where ESPN sets you up, right? You got to look out for yourself as well on some of these. Penny's talked about it since he's been the coach. Restoring some of these regional rivalries feels like doing that, depending on your finding your own. Tennessee's not interested right now, so maybe it just doesn't sound like he's very far along. He's talking about he's got a call into Kenny Payne. You got to figure Louisville's schedule is probably – pretty set. Maybe they've had some fallout with the coaching change, but you got to figure it's pretty set. Same thing for Arkansas. Would Musk come here first? Because you need some home games, quite frankly, to start them off.
Absolutely.
Or you go, does Musselman want to come here first before it goes back to Arkansas? Those things, they just don't sound very far down the road. So,
right.
With it critical more than ever that you get, you fill that place up down there at FedEx Forum. Scheduling, very important.
Yes,
very
it is.
Important.
Yes, it is. Louisville, man. Louisville has made a power move in the recruitment of the number one player in the country, firing back at John Calipari. Everything comes full circle. What they do, get into that when we come back. Jason and John, Turn FM, ESPN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Remember Memphis Group at the real estate agency?
They've been rocking with us, man. How long?
Almost 4 years now, it feels like.
We appreciate that. And you will appreciate it if you choose them to help you navigate this market. If you're selling your home, if you're buying one right after, they are the team you want to get with. Dream team, big three type stuff. Because they're going to list your home better, price your home better, market your home better than everybody else. All you have to do to reach out, email soldtolivelovememphis.com.
It is an all-star team captained by Jennifer Carstensen. She's built this team from the ground up. It is the best at what they do. They will get you more money than you can imagine for your home. Certainly the case for Dwight. It was $30,000 more. In Dennis's case, $20,000 more than what other agents were telling him. So that's what you need to know, right? That Jennifer Carstensen's going to go out and get you the most bang for your buck. In this case, your house. She's going to get you the bucks. Maximize, maximize, maximize. You deserve every dollar. That's why you got to call her up, 625-5200. You owe them a call, 625-5200, especially if you're serious about putting your home on the markets. Live Love Memphis and Live Love DeSoto teams at the real estate agency.
All right, so we were talking about this before we went to break, but, you know, I'm always a big fan of power moves, right, in life, in college basketball, in college sports, whatever the case may be. And Louisville made a power move today. Now, how effective it's going to be, I don't know. I can't predict the future, and I don't know how this is going to end. But DJ Wagner is the number one player in the class of 2023. He's the son of Memphis Tiger legend DeJuan Wagner. And John Calipari, once upon a time, hired Milt Wagner, who had not had any college coaching experience at the time, at Memphis in 2000.
Yes.
To get DeJuan Wagner to Memphis. He was successful. Well, 22 years later, DeJuan has a son named DJ. John Calipari is at Kentucky. And Louisville hires Granddad.
Granddaddy Milt.
The same man that John Calipari hired 22 years ago to get the son has been hired by Louisville in hopes of getting the grandson. Now, this is getting kind of juicy now, right? Mm-hmm. Because is this a deal where, you know, again, how many grandfathers are calling the shots of a recruitment of the grandson? You know, if dad and mom are like, that's probably not, you know, going on. But I'm just curious, like, is this a deal where DeJuan is like cool with it, and he's just like trying to use this as, hey, get my dad on, and you know, we're coming? Or is this a deal where like Louisville has sort of acted out of turn, right, and hired Milt against DeJuan's? I truly don't know. Like I don't know what the dynamics of the situation are, because I think if you ask Kentucky people, they still feel like he's going to go to Kentucky, DJ. But now and it's a hybrid role, right? It's a university role, basically.
Yeah, they have to do that to get around the rule where you have to make them a staff member, like Keelan.
Correct. You know,
Josh had to make Keelan a staff member, right? Because that rule changed. If you're going to have him a primary family member as a recruit, right?
Right.
He has to be one of the team's three primary assistants. So that's their way around this, making him sort of a university employee rather than just an athletics employee.
Exactly. Exactly. So, what do you think? What do you, if you had to say without knowing exactly, right? Do you think this was something that was already talked about, and everybody just agreed, like, hey, yeah, like, we'll let's get him on, and, you know, we'll come to Louisville. I'm just curious. Do you think everybody was on board with this, or do you think maybe Louisville was trying to put some pressure on DeJuan? And can, like, I'm just what do you think this move really truly is?
Oh, DJ's going there. That's clear. And I'm sure DeJuan looked at it as, hey, if I can get my dad a job out of this too, let's do that. Let's get all we can out of this whole deal. Like, that's what it looks like to me. Again, I don't think you make the move here. Go cut, you know, circumvent the rule, go around the rule here if the intention is not to ultimately get DJ there. What I'm curious is about is, well, what's DeJuan getting? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's daddy getting? Because in this case, granddaddy getting something, grandson going to get something, I'm sure, NIL, everything else, he'll get first-class treatment. What's DeJuan getting? Because you're not, you know, everybody's got to be taken care of here. Well, so, and anyway, he'll get part of the NIL, whatever it is. But this right. looks to me, yes, you're not doing making all these moves if you're Kenny Payne, if it's not to get DJ.
Right.
Now, there's no need.
Now, yeah, I mean, you know.
And DJ's worth it. He's the number one player. And for Kenny Payne, who's in this spot and really at a Louisville's at a crossroads, man, where they got to get it going fast here. That Chris Mack, you know, that whole deal, that set them back. And so they need to come back, you know, with a bang. And this would certainly represent that for Kenny Payne, you know, at his alma mater.
Yeah, I mean.
It's worth it. It's worth it. The kid's good. He's that good.
It's for
1 year.
Penny should do it. Penny should have hired Milt Wagner. Anybody should have hired
Milt
Wagner.
But in this case, he's not even one of your three assistants. So you're not even giving that up. You've made him this university employee that literally helps you skirt the rule.
Exactly.
So it's perfect.
What is there any?
If that's all you had to do, that and show him the NIL numbers, great get.
Is there any way he goes Kentucky now?
I don't see it. I don't see that. I don't see Kenny being down.
But still, Kentucky does not. I mean, because I follow a couple guys that cover Kentucky, and they still are not like they don't feel like this.
Well,
it's
been in the bag for so long. They ain't ready to give this up. It's done. You know, it feels like it's done to me.
But why would Kentucky not have done this? Right, that's my question. Why would they have let Louisville beat them to this? It's just a university role, right? Why would you not just hire Milt to, you know, be a librarian at Kentucky? Why would you not have beaten them to the punch?
I think, I mean, once Kenny gets the job, isn't that what changed the dynamic?
Yes,
that's
it is.
When this completely changed.
Well,
where
does that relationship come in?
So once Kenny gets the gig, it's over for you. Whatever your plan, whatever your plans were, that's what opened the door to this.
Right.
And it was probably the only thing that could have, you know, the only thing that could have led to Kentucky not getting DJ was Kenny getting this job. This isn't he like the godfather or something too of thought I read too of DJ or something. Like, there's, you know, it's almost blood with them and that family, with the Wagner family. So I just think once Kenny got the deal, you know, it doesn't matter what Cal did. You know, I don't think at that point Milt's going to say, hey, yeah, I'll go join you. No, he's going to end up with his with Kenny. He's going to end up with his guy. So even if Cal had said, I'm going to beat you to the punch and hire Milt,
right?
I don't think it works then because Kenny's tighter in with them folks.
No, I'm with you. I don't think there's any way the kid can go to Kentucky now with
I don't think so.
I mean, how do you do that with your grandfather? Like, because grandfather would get fired immediately, right? I mean, that would be the end of that. There is no need for me to employ your grandfather if you go to Kentucky.
I'll be real honest.
You're fired, old man.
It wasn't family in this sense, which makes it even more unlikely you'd think that DJ would go to Kentucky while granddad's at Louisville. But obviously the situation the situation here with Keelan, but the situation more so we saw it with Faraji, where if you're hired to bring a guy in and you don't get it done, I mean, what after a year? What we saw, Stackhouse moved off of him.
Yeah, 100%.
He didn't get Matthew Morrell, who he was tied to from high school, and he moved off of him, and that's why you go get
right
Milt in this case.
Now,
like you're not hiring Keelan without getting the Suns. Like
right.
It's part of the deal and always has been. In the
right.
case where there wasn't any blood, Faraji's tied to Matthew Morrell
right.
through high school, doesn't get him. They moved off of Faraji.
Yes.
He's no longer an assistant up there.
Mark Giannotto, he texted me and said that Payne and Kenny Payne and Milt are best friends, but you still
I think best friends and I think he's like the goddad or something of which would make some sense.
But you still wouldn't just give him a job for that, right? You would give him a job because you are, you know, you are hoping and you are doing it based on your presence in this position is going to help me land the young man.
They have made this dude like a university employee. That's what's the other part of the title? Director of Alumni Relations with the school. You think he's going to them lengths to get Best Bud a job and not get grandson?
Yeah.
No, you skirt the rule so you can get the dude, and you've done it very smartly here without having to make Milt one of your three assistants.
And again, because he is an alum, you could just say, we were going to do this anyway, right? We were going to hire him. We liked him in this position. You know, it's like Dwight Boyd, right? I think that's kind of what Dwight Boyd was doing, right? Or is doing. I'm not sure what the position is these days. But
then you tell yourself, this is a great deal because, again, you haven't ruined any chemistry in terms of your three most important hires of your staff that will go past, theoretically, past the time that you have DJ Wagner, right? You can focus on getting a staff that's going to, you know, still be impactful once Wagner's gone, and probably once Milt's done with his one-year role as this director of alumni relations with the school.
Yes, yes.
So this ain't being done here because he's doing his buddy a favor. He's doing his buddy a favor because they're getting grandson. You know, deal my own thing. How much of a cut is DeJuan getting? Because I'm sure he gets some.
That's what your focus is, right?
Yeah,
now.
Because that's what's happening.
Because
here.
Someday you want to be in that position, and you're not just going to let Les Smith get everything.
You're going to see DJ at Kentucky with Milt.
What kind of damn
and Kenny over there, but overlooked, not happening.
What you're trying to
we
say?
We know how these things.
What
go.
Kind of damn sense does it make for Les Smith to get a piece of this pie when CJ commits to a school and I don't get nothing out of it?
Well, how would that look?
Right, that's ridiculous.
So you know DeJuan's got to be satisfied with how this is going. So, you know what? And throw my dad something in there too. Matter of fact, give him a nice $60,000 to $80,000 job. Maybe it's less than that. Who knows? Whatever it is, it's better than zero.
Right.
It's just free. He ain't gonna be. You think he's going to be sitting in an office as the director of alumni relations?
No.
From 9 to 5?
No.
On the campus of Louisville?
No.
It's free money.
How do you
and worth doing, especially when you don't even have to make him an assistant.
That's a hell of a call to have to make to Cal, isn't it?
And you get him out of everybody. Cal's had that dude in his grips for years.
Yeah.
Now everybody's thought DJ was going there for years because you had Wani.
As Gary tweeted, and I know that's the obvious, you know, sort of comparison, but it's James Wiseman all over again for Cal, because you think you got the dude in the bag. He's living there in Nashville, and you've put the work in and the recruitment, and all of a sudden, boom.
You tell me what folks in Lexington going to say. That's what matters with.
Well,
is he taking too many losses here lately? They're never going to run Cal out of town, but at some point, how far does that go? Because you got the one title. I've always said he should have more.
Kentucky has not made a Final Four in 7 years.
Final Four's been 7 years. That's a long time.
Gary said he's on the hot seat.
I cannot see Kentucky
firing him. They'll do
could
something.
He resign?
That's
face.
Kentucky, though, bro.
Cal will save face in whatever way that looks like, whether it's a parting of ways or whatever it is.
But, yeah. This dude's not going to Kentucky is everything I hear y'all saying. He's not going to Kentucky.
Is it obvious? Which school's done more for his career? Memphis, where you rebuild it, right, coming off the Nets thing, right, where he was fired, or Kentucky, where he's won one and sort of cemented things? Is it still Kentucky because you win the title there?
He's made more Final Fours there.
It cements you there.
Yeah, I guess.
But I'm telling you, if he doesn't turn it around here and he doesn't get the Kentucky job. So I could put that up against it. I'm with you that
Memphis
Kentucky ultimately
him to get that job.
He doesn't get the gig without the success at Memphis.
Memphis,
which
is,
he had to get to turn around the reputation coming back from NBA.
Yeah, I'm gonna put it to you like
right.
This.
And as a dirty college coach, basically, for what happened to UMass, I mean, there's one, you know,
Memphis
part of the reputation
as
too.
It relates to John Calipari. And I hate to put it like this, but it's true. Memphis is like the high school girlfriend of the guy that goes on to be a great NBA player, but ultimately gets left behind for something better.
Well, Ja's going to change that.
You know,
changing that.
That's right.
We helped.
It's not a bad analogy.
We helped make you what you are, right? I was with you when you were broke. I was with you when you were nothing.
Yeah.
But then you got to the league, and you changed, and you got all this money, and you got all this prestige, and you just broke up with me, you know? And that's part of it. You know, that's part of the deal. Memphis was a stepping stone for Cal. He was here for 9 years, and he did some great things, though.
Memphis wasn't a stepping stone for Thad. Hadn't been a stepping stone for your boy Mike Miller.
No. Just for Cal, I'm saying. Just for in this instance.
Well, yeah, I get it.
Because the question
you're
was.
You're saying from a coaching
Your question
standpoint.
Was which did more, right?
Yes.
Which did more. I mean,
for Cal's career.
I could argue Memphis was more important because of his image. Because he was coming to Memphis as a failed NBA coach, right?
That's literally the case I presented to you.
As a disgraced UMass coach, right? And he spent 9 years here and rehabilitated his image, which allowed him to have a shot at the Kentucky job, which he'd have never had otherwise. Mm-hmm.
Isn't a more important question, who benefited more from Cal being at Memphis? Memphis or Cal? And I think, unfortunately, the answer is Cal. I'm not trying to hate.
I don't know, though, because, man, Memphis had, like, Josh built a lot of his success on the back of Cal's momentum.
And he got a benefit from Memphis, maybe more than Memphis, too, as a result.
I think it was a pretty even deal, man.
Yeah, Memphis had an opportunity to keep it just as high there for a while. Again, not just as high, but to keep it on that, you know, on that nationally relevant level.
Yeah.
And it was for a while, but you had that opportunity to do so because of where Cal had taken it to. There's no question.
I think
I'll tell you what proves
got some
the, out the
of
fact
it.
That Josh Pastner was the guy that comes out having not been a head coach. What's he get? Two top three classes in the first 4 or 5 years of it. Now a lot of that was the Memphis talent, but still, you go out and get Will Barton to add to the first one, right? You go out and get some out of town guys to go with it. Shaq Goodwin as well. He got some of that, but.
But it devolved into
Josh was. I don't want to take the credit away from Josh. He works hard, but most of that was still the Memphis brand. A ton of that was the Memphis brand, and where it had been under Cal.
And when it got harder for him, he went and started doing the rehabilitation tour with guys like Dixon. It just didn't hold up for after those first initial
years.
Well,
he still. I mean, he got the Lawsons. He still had Charlie Moore, which feels like 10 years ago coming in.
Never truly fell off.
He never really fell off with that.
It's a shame we couldn't have paired up Penny with those years right after.
Josh's problem was not reaching expectations when you have that level of
talent. Right. The recruiting. You're right.
He couldn't pair the recruiting with the winning.
Need a second weekend run with this kind of talent. He never did.
Because you just keep it rolling, right? Because, look, you think about there was such a fervor for Memphis Tiger basketball when Cal left, because I remember that Memphis Madness. It was like fire marshal stuff.
They were trying to prove that we were still the team.
Yeah, man. Like, there was and the brand was still in such a... You were coming off a Sweet 16.
Well, you got to do it. You have to go all in to try to keep it going.
And the issue for Memphis, if we're going back into history, the issue for Memphis was nobody wanted to follow that. Nobody wanted to follow... No reputable coach in a standing job wanted to follow four straight 30-win seasons. They didn't want to follow Final Fours, Elite Eights, those recruiting class. Because what John was doing... was pretty damn impressive. I mean, it was. I don't know if we'll see four straight 31 seasons in college basketball ever again the way it's played now. Maybe it's in a small conference, but, you know,
Gonzaga can do that.
But like, any, like, team, you know, that played the schedule that John Calipari had at Memphis, I don't see it, man. I just don't see it. So I think there was a real intimidation factor there. Really, it was 2016 where Memphis blew it, bro. I mean, they ended up being fine with Penny and getting the recruiting class and everything he's done. But 2016 was really the opportunity. Like, if you wanted to, like, go in big and take that swing, you could have done that and probably gotten somebody if you just were. I mean, they paid Tubby $3
million. Right.
You could have gotten somebody better than Tubby for $3 million. You know, they just blew it.
But we knew how that happened. You got Tom Bowen, who's he's a football guy.
Yes.
Depending on a search firm.
Yes.
Whose first name comes up, Coach of the Year. For the job he did down at Texas Tech, or he won the Coach of the Year from Sporting News. So you can see how that all happened. You're right. Could have gone down a different road there, probably been much better off. I don't know.
Right.
You ever get to Penny going that way.
No,
But certainly could have made a better choice than that, because that was bad fit all the way around.
In some ways, though, they went to Penny out of pure desperation.
But Tubby made just as much a mistake as Memphis did in that, because Tubby made the mistake of thinking he could swallow his pride and put up with the culture and teach us all what it's all about. And that never worked.
Well, he took the golden egg, right? I mean, he just took that deal.
That's why he looked.
And he knew he would never get another deal like that.
Remember, it was an opportunity to get his son back on staff 100%. After being on support staff.
He had some master plans. No,
yeah, exactly.
He did. But look, you turned a Penny out of desperation because you didn't have a choice. Like, you just knew the brand had suffered so much, and you needed an injection of anything. And there was really only one man who had the ties to the recruits at that time in that particular class, and B, that would get people back in the building and caring again. So there was not another option that you could politically take, right? And look, you would say the Penny Hardaway era has gone well, right? There has to continue to be the, you know, tournament appearances, building on these things, but he's gotten the players, and he was up 10 at the half against Gonzaga last season in the second round. So you would say, kind of like the Grizzlies, right? Like, you're coming back and you're improving, right? You're improving year to year, and I would say so far, so good with Penny. Now, again, what you don't want to see is the steps back, going from a second round appearance to not making the tournament.
Well, it's almost a different challenge now being a college basketball coach, and we're seeing it all over the place where, you know, you used to build a team, right? You talk about all the stuff like all the glue guys you need and the role players to go with some stars or whatever, put that magic recipe together, and you build that over a couple of years, right? You let those guys get seasoned, then you got some seniors playing with some young talent, all that. But let's be real. College basketball has really become more about how, can you flip your roster? How effectively can you do it, and how good can you make it on the fly? Because that's what's happening with these transfers, with NIL now. Hell, we saw the deal at Miami where Wong wants – or he's if he doesn't get the NIL money up, he's leaving. You know what I'm saying? It's become like it's open market out here. So the point is if you're going to have this constant flipping, right, then how in the world do you sit up here and you recruit a high school senior, right, and you have a four-year plan for him that by his junior and senior season,
right,
this team will be coming together, we'll be ready to make a run. You can't do that in college athletics anymore. So back to the point, I do think Penny, probably more so than a lot of others, equipped, right, to play that game.
Agreed.
You know, that Coach K don't want to play that game. You know, he right. did. He joined the arms race here late.
Well, it,
what did it get him, though, John? What did it get him
right.
in the end?
Yeah.
Not another one of his coveted titles. Back to the point, though. Penny is well-equipped for this kind of game where it's a constant flipping. Oh, I need to go get a conference player of the year to go. Let me go out here and land this guy, you know, one of the most coveted guys in the country. Like, he's good at that game. And so it's a different game now. Sure, to finding the right balance of both is ideally what you want. Some guys in your program to go along with owning the transfer portal, whatever it is. But it's a new game. It's not so much, hey, what how many high school seniors you got coming in and what are they ranked?
Right.
It's all new now where it's more these teams are most of your important players probably a transfer from another team the year before. And that's the way it's not just it's the way college basketball is going.
Absolutely.
So he's kind of he's equipped to play this game.
By the way, this is actually going to be the third time that Cal had the rug pulled from under him because of a family member. Cade Cunningham's brother got hired at Oklahoma State.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So that's three times in the last 5 years where Cal had the inside track to a guy and lost him due to a family, you know, member getting hired somewhere else.
Yeah, but the funny thing is he's one of the guys that helped. He's one of the guys that helped with the blueprint of this, man. When he got milled back in the day. So now the fact that it's happening,
dude, you originated this game.
What goes around comes around, all the way around, man.
And look, that's the thing. It's like, you know, you if you think you're above that game now, you'll feel it. Like somebody else is not going to be. And so whoever's willing to engage in that.
Nick Saban thought he was above the game, too.
And now look at him.
He's number two.
Right.
And got to explain it.
So neurotic of him,
Response. But that's all of that's going into the same sort of pot here, right? Like, Cal's like, I got Robic, I got Antigua, I got, I got my,
dismissing
got
it.
My guys here. I don't need to hire family members to get number one recruits. I can get them without that. No, you ain't.
Well, and I think the stigma from fans and the media has changed because, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it was, can you believe he's hiring a Lawson dad, blah, blah, or he's hiring a dad. And now it's like, man, what a smart move to hire dad or grandpa.
Well, I mean, it's just,
with NIL and everything.
It's somebody else is going to be willing to do it. Why wouldn't
I? Yeah, it's just like any business, really. Like, 100%. It's how things work in the world.
If somebody else is going to do this, right, and they're going to benefit from it, why wouldn't I do it first?
That's right.
I mean, it's just crazy. And ethically, like, I don't even know if there's anything wrong with it ethically. You know, what's wrong with hiring, you know, I know, like, he doesn't have any professional experience, but, you know, Keelan was around back. People had a problem with that, right? You go back to that time, people were like, they were clutching their pearls about Memphis hiring Keelan Lawson, you know, or maybe it was that Keelan was, like, putting it out there publicly because it was like Memphis in another school, wasn't it? Vandy, maybe. Like Keelan was doing it publicly. But I'm like, you know, why wouldn't you create your own leverage like that? Keelan doesn't have an agent. Keelan doesn't have somebody that's going around the country saying, hey, you know, Keelan's doing it himself, man. He's a one-man band.
I hope CJ's good enough that I can get me a director of student relations job out of it for some school. You know what I'm saying?
No, Les Smith's getting that one.
Way to go, boy.
Les Smith's getting that one.
By the way, I work with Zoom, okay? Students, you come see me via Zoom like Rasheed Wallace. That's what kind of role I want. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm going to come in here, do the show 11-2. In the meantime, I'm going to be your you know, your remote student liaison to students.
See, that's
over there at
see, that's your problem.
Grand Canyon University. Me and CJ over there.
That's
but I'm gonna be doing it from Memphis.
See, Jason wants to
I'm
do the work, but he
I'm
don't want
take that money. That's your point. What's wrong with that? It's an opportunity for a family member.
No, you got to be in the building, bro.
What?
We need your presence.
Yeah, we need good vibes only.
Rasheed was assistant all year last year.
He was remote.
Yeah, he's on a mask.
Penny said they talked to him on Zoom.
Yeah. Okay. All right, yeah, they talked to Rasheed Wallace on Zoom.
Well, that's what he told. That he was just trying to sell.
I know that's what he said.
He was trying to sell that Rasheed was a Zoom counselor.
Rasheed, what should we do second half versus the Zags?
Yeah, what do you think,
pal? I'm sure they were doing that in the middle of practice. Like, everybody's walking over to the laptop.
No, my point, you be remote. We learned that through COVID. You can be remote now, John. I don't have to go to Grand Canyon to actually be their student.
In 14 years, you know, we're still going to be remote.
Student relations?
You see all these tech companies laying people off. You know, you're going to get your ass back to the office.
Truth is, these dads know the game, because the way that youth high-level basketball players operate for decades, like, you're in this game from the age of 8 to 18. You're in it for a decade as a dad or a mother.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.